Are you a debunker or a skeptic? There's a big difference, Michael.
Yeah, big difference. Skepticism is just a tool. It's not a thing. It's not a position you take. I don't think of it as a noun. I think of it more as a verb, that it's just a way of analyzing claims. You can be skeptical of a claim. You can be skeptical of the skeptics. Global warming certainly comes to mind. There are people that are skeptical of global warming, and there are people that are skeptical of the so-called global warming skeptics. And that's a nice example, I think, of a current event that shows it really is just a way of analyzing claims, and people can differ on how they use the tool. So in the case of UFOs and SETI and so forth, it isn't a position to take. There's, several different questions to ask. Are they out there? Have they come here? What is the quality of the evidence for each of the different kinds of claims? And you have to take them one at a time, and it would be obviously dogmatically closed-minded to just say, well, I just don't believe, period. You don't believe what? I mean, you have to take them one claim at a time. And that's what we try to do at Skeptic with all the different things, like alternative medicine. I mean, there's thousands of claims. You can't just say, I don't believe any of them. You have to, look at each one of them.
Well, we've got a lot of time on this program, unlike Larry had. So let us start with you, Stanton, and I'll just give you a moment of opening remarks on why you're a believer.
Well, I'm not a believer. I'm a scientist who's been looking at the data for 49 years, been lecturing about it for 40 years, which gives me plenty of feedback. It's overall evidence that Michael never deals with. And I actually figured out tonight why he makes extraordinary claims, like that there's that only anecdotal evidence, for example, or no security aspect of this. And I figured all that out. Basically, I've reached four major conclusions. One, the evidence is overwhelming that planet Earth is being visited by intelligently controlled extraterrestrial spacecraft. In other words, some underlined 37 times, some UFOs are alien spacecraft, most are not. Don't care about them. Secondly, that we're dealing with a cosmic Watergate, meaning some few people within the major governments of the planet have known since at least 1947 when two craft were recovered in southeastern New Mexico, alien craft and alien bodies, that indeed some UFOs are alien spacecraft. The third conclusion is that there are no good arguments against a flying saucer reality, against the first two conclusions, only people who haven't looked at the evidence. Such as Michael. And fourth, we're dealing with the biggest story, the millennium. Not two millennia, one millennium. Visits to planet Earth by alien spacecraft, successful cover-up of the best data bodies and wreckage for 60 years. That's quite remarkable. So that, in a nutshell, is where I stand. And in my lectures, of course, I go through evidence. Now, we don't have time for me to present a bunch of slides, even if I hold them close to the telephone, you won't see them. So we'll deal with evidence as we go along, and my solution to why Michael makes extraordinary claims, and we'll get on with
it. All right. And Michael, why are you the skeptic?
Well, again, I separate the two major questions. Are extraterrestrial intelligences out there somewhere in the cosmos, and have they come here? And obviously the answer to the first question is nobody knows. We have to keep looking, listening, searching, sending out spacecraft, using radio telescopes and so on, like the SETI program does. And like most of the SETI scientists, I would say, it would be remarkable if we were alone. I mean, as Carl Sagan liked to say, what a considerable waste of space. And it would be rather egocentric and narrow-minded of us to think that we're special, we're alone. The Copernican principle here applies, that we're not special, that if it happened here, it likely happened elsewhere. The raw numbers by themselves, the 100 billion galaxies, 100 billion stars in each one of them, and let's say only 10%, but probably more, have planets, mm-hmm. You just end up with a probability of close to one that there has to be extraterrestrial intelligence somewhere out there. And I'm not talking just about bacterial-grade life, but actual intelligence.
So you believe that?
Yeah, believe it. Okay, that's a tricky word.
That's my favorite word.
I think it's highly probable, although we have no evidence of it yet, so we have to just keep looking.
But you don't believe I don't think it's here.
No, I think there's a lot of good arguments against the idea that they've come here, and if they have, they wouldn't resemble anything like what you typically see in the narratives of alien abduction experiences and those sorts of things, where there are bipedal primates that are bilaterally symmetrical with two arms and two legs and a head and two eyes and so forth. That, I mean, that only happened once in the 4 billion year history of Earth and of the trillions of species that have evolved and gone extinct. Only one lineage has become bipedal primates, us. And so the idea that that happened somewhere else is pretty improbable, and that they then happened to find us in the vast emptiness of the cosmos, that makes it seem even more unlikely. And therefore, the terrestrial hypothesis that people are having psychological experiences, sleep disorders, hallucinations, illusions, they're creative, fantasy-prone personalities, whatever, concocting stories of aliens that look like us, that seems more probable than the previous scenario.
Last hour of the program, when we go to phone calls, so we would have had 2 hours of this debate. I'll open up the fast blasts, and we'll have listeners vote without trying to skew anything. We'll just take them as they come in on who they felt won tonight's Skeptics Cage debate. I remember, Stanton, when you did the first one with Seth Shostak, you won, did you not?
Well, it was 57-33-10. I didn't get a prize, though, George.
No, the prize has not come yet. The prize actually will be doing a full show with you on your Betty Hill book.
Okay.
How about that?
I can put up with that as a prize. I mean, I've read the book. I don't think Michael has. Michael read the book?
I don't know.
No,
if you had it with you, right?
Betty Hill book.
I'm going to break down tonight's debate in different areas and concepts. And Michael, you basically have started the first one for us, and that is, there's no question that this universe has billions of planets in there, and that the possibility of life out there is pretty strong. Let's address that first and foremost, not whether we've been visited or not, but life out there. Stanton, of course, being the scientist who believes in visitation, obviously then you're the believer in life out there elsewhere. But I want you to elaborate, as a scientist, why you believe there are many planets out there inhabited by intelligent beings.
Well, you know, I can't come to a conclusion as to how many are inhabited by intelligent beings. Unlike Michael, I don't think it's probable or improbable. When you don't have data, you might as well throw darts at a dartboard. The simple fact of the matter is there are bipedal beings coming here. Now, how many planets out there have life? We don't know. We do have to take into account, though, that the distribution of life, even on our planet, is related to things like colonization and migration. So if it starts at one place, it could move on all over the place. And we don't know. It's like SETI. You know that I've said that SETI is like silly effort to investigate, because when you look at the Drake equation, there's no way to put in numbers. We don't know what fraction of planets develop life. We don't know what fraction of those develop intelligence, or what fraction of those send signals. It's not an equation. There's no way to put numbers in it. The estimates vary from a few thousand to a few billion. That tells you it isn't a description of Mother Nature or of the world around us. It's dartboard physics. As a scientist, I believe in dealing with the real world physics. And so, life out there, sure, it's coming here. I don't know where. I have some ideas where some of it might come from, but we cannot make statements about the distribution of life out there because nobody's given us a map.